Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and for a lot of us, technology has made staying in during the pandemic much less of a burden than it would otherwise be. We shop online for what we can. People are doing yoga classes, watching opera, having group video dance parties. Hey, I'm hosting a live radio show from my home right now. But for a lot of the people who are the most vulnerable to this disease, those over 80, for example, relying on technology at this level to stay connected and get your needs met in the world is not so simple. So how can kids, grandkids, or caregivers help those folks who live most of their lives in a non-digital world? We've invited a couple of people now whose work involves helping people work around functional losses, occupational therapists. So Aitana Edelman is a third-year graduate student at Seton Hall University in their occupational therapy program, and she is joined by one of her professors, Meryl Picard. So Aitana and Professor Picard, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much.
And Aitana, you shared a story of how you helped your grandmother get set up with a grocery shopping app from afar. Can you walk us through what worked for your grandmother and what lesson there might be in that for others?
Of course, it's a pleasure. I really wanted to help my grandmother out. She lives in Florida, and I'm based really in New York right now. And so once I knew that she was maybe interested in learning more about using an app, I downloaded the app from the grocery store that she normally goes to, and I created an account for her, and then when she was ready to talk about it, I walked her through while we were on the phone. I explained to her how to download the app and then how to search for different items that she might really need at this time.
Now, listeners, I'm going to give out the phone number for this segment, and I'm going to give you the plea that I've been giving periodically today one more time to be kind to our sole screener. We usually have two or three people screening calls in normal times, but because we're trying to have as few people as possible go into the studio, please understand if the screener is moving fast to let you go after a segment ends, or if your call isn't relevant to a segment, or if we're not going to have time for you because we have too many calls within a segment. Thanks for understanding that the screener is going to spend less time with you than usual. But we are inviting calls right now for anyone who wants to talk about how you have helped older relatives get connected digitally, or if you are an older person who is not used to doing as much online as people are doing to stay connected with the people in their world or the shopping or whatever else in your world as you're having to do now, who has workarounds or tips? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Just for that, and you'll understand if anybody's still calling in or holding on for previous segments that we're going to let you go pretty quickly. So, Meryl, Professor Picard, how does occupational therapy approach this kind of problem in general, learning digital skills that are key, but people don't have the skills?
When in a better and optimal world, we would want to work individually with the older adult to help match them not only to the technology that would be easier for them, preferably the technology, if they do own technology, an iPhone or an iPad or another tablet, to be able to help them with the individual options that they might need, their accessibility options that are built into every phone and tablet, and those accessibility options can be adjusted for vision, for hearing, for touch, to give voice control, to use typing. So we've got a lot of options in our technology, but unfortunately coronavirus has been such a major change to our environment that we now don't have that option to do that one-on-one training, except as Aitana did it with her grandmother. But her grandmother already had some capacity to use technology and also had the motivation. The research literature that has come out tells us that motivation to use technology is huge and that it takes practice. So I think that we are dealing with dividing this older adult segment into sections. There are many people, particularly those under 75, who are adept users at their technology, and they are able to manage. So getting onto FaceTime or doing WhatsApp with the family is not a major issue. But we have other older adults who may have only used their cell phone for phone calls, mm-hmm. and now they're being asked to do all of these other functions, including medical appointments using telehealth and being able to grocery shop. So as OTs, we would work with all of those problems with people. By the way, OTs are moving into telehealth, and there are many therapists right now that are beginning to treat online because we can't simply stop treating the population because all of us are doing social distancing.
And Aitana, I think one thing that might be relevant to a lot of people from your story is that, as I understand it, your grandmother didn't ask you for help. First, you had to convince her it was necessary. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, she knew after speaking to my aunts and my uncle and my parents that it was really important for her to stay home. But then when I spoke to her the next day, she was like, oh, I just went out to Costco. And I said, no, Grandma, it's really important that you stay home and you don't go shopping. And I wanted her to be able to find a solution where she would still really have the independence to pick out the items that she wanted, but to really do so from a distance. And I think that in an ideal world, being able to shop online is such a perfect solution. But as Dr. Picard was saying, these older adults need to have the actual devices and the tech savvy, the understanding of how to really use these devices.
Let's take a phone call. Mary in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I've been a computer consultant, partially specializing in teaching seniors how to use computers for a good number of years. And I found that for many of them, especially if they have a tremor or vision problems, a desktop or a laptop, mm-hmm. if they can accommodate it, where you can find an ergonomic mouse, an ergonomic keyboard, a large monitor, and really outfit it to their needs. And in practice, what I've done is observe what they have, what they get, and then make recommendations. And there's a great emphasis on tablets and smartphones, but even with the ability to increase the type, the screens are small, and if you have the slightest tremor in your hand, it's difficult to use. So I think in this day and age, we often forget the value of desktops and laptops, and they're quite inexpensive now.
Mary, thank you so much. Professor Picard, do you want to weigh in on that? Pure size as an issue for older folks.
Right. I think that I appreciate that Mary, first of all, I appreciate that she's doing this and working with older adults on this. And yes, in an ideal world, we would definitely match someone to the technology that they need. And a larger screen for many people is something that's very important. There are also things called sticky keys and the accessibility options in laptops or desktops that can certainly make it easier for anyone who has tremors. But in this COVID-19 environment that we're living in now, we can't do what Mary does for a living. We can't go in and be with that older adult and do that ergonomic assessment and be able to match them perfectly with their technology. But what we do want to do is prevent the feelings of social isolation that comes with the social distancing and prevent the loneliness. So I am advocating at this point that people use what people have. And we know from the Pew Foundation, for example, that people have more cell phones and smartphones than they do laptops and desktops. So I would rather see a family able to do something with that older adult, even if it is a traditional phone call on a landline, in order to stay in touch. And to also, for all of us, to try to develop some habits and routines to make the contact more regular. So, for example, last night, my family, we had a virtual dinner last night with my daughter who lives in D.C., and we used FaceTime. And it's certainly easy to use, but for older adults who don't know how to use it, we can explain how to get into that with them in a step-by-step way, and we can certainly work with Android systems using something like Google Hangouts or WhatsApp.
And so I think part of the point here, mm-hmm. which you know well and I know well and a lot of the listeners know well, but a lot of people may not, is that these apps allow multiple people to be in that same virtual family dinner. My family is planning a virtual Seder. That's going to include a lot of people. And there are programs, you know, like the one you mentioned in Zoom, and there's one that a caller mentioned called House Party, where you can mm-hmm. see four different faces at once.
Right.
But the point being, these apps now and programs, many of them, you can see multiple faces at the same time and gather in a group on your computer, not just one-on-one.
The only thing I would encourage people to do if they are going to use any of these multi-person apps is, particularly with older adults and certainly if someone has any hearing issues, to please speak one at a time. For someone who's wearing hearing aids and trying to discern different voices in the family, the normal conversation that we would have where we speak over each other may not be the best for someone who is connecting mm-hmm. virtually. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage
Good
people
one.
To just slow the conversation down a little bit to make sure that we're not losing any of our family members or friends that we're trying to connect with.
Good one. Lori in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Thank you. So my mom lives in Florida. She's 87. Oops, I'll get in trouble for that. And she has a lot of issues with her computer. And so we've installed something called TeamViewer, TeamViewer, that all she has to do is click on the icon on her desktop. It's easy to download. And then there's a password she gives to me. I go on my TeamViewer, and we're on the phone together, and I can help her with her banking. I can help her with, you know, when she hits a pop-up and she's messed up her computer, I can go on and fix it for her. We have a lot of those emergency calls. But she can actually do it, or I can teach her how to do things, and we just talk on the phone, and we share her screen. And it has been a godsend.
Thank you very much for that. That's really good. Let's just go right to another one. Maria in Sunset Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Yes, good morning. I cared for a relative for 18 years that lived, fortunately, lived a few blocks away, that had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's mm-hmm. when it was pretty much Alzheimer's had taken control of things. And one of the first things that I realized was that if I did not train the caretakers and bring them up to snuff in what technology I was familiar with, that because I wasn't, they were the ones who spent most of the time with the patient, that I was asking for big trouble. I also realized that the majority of the caretakers, not only for my relative, but for other people in the neighborhood with whom, in a neighborhood where I do a lot of community work, that relatives were having the same problem. And they were young moms that had the smartphone in their hands, but often did not know the power of that smartphone for their own families. So I went about supporting and training and teaching the caretakers, and it really made life a lot easier and obviously a lot more interesting for my relatives. I have found that I have reached out to the Department for the Aged, over those 18 years, to see what could be done for them to intervene and do this at senior centers. Experience has been that the use of computers at senior centers were recreational, but I think COVID-19 certainly has put a lot of a new reality in front of us.
Maria, thank you for all of that. I'm going to move on for time, but Dr. Picard, anything you want to say to amplify or respond?
I really appreciate that Maria mentioned the caretakers. I think that and particularly for individuals living with dementia, the world has become much more difficult for them. A lot of programming that people used to attend, day programs for people with dementia, have closed down because of COVID-19. So people are in the house now, and some people do still have their caretakers. Their caretakers, like so many of our health professionals who are risking their lives to take care of all of us. These folks go in and they are working with people, and I agree with Maria, the training is not there. It's something that we should certainly be putting in front of our various departments of aging to try to set up training programs for them. Really good point.
Here's another occupational therapist calling in. It's Jody in Little Falls. You're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Nice. I'm so happy that you have occupational therapists on. We love to advocate for our profession. What I was going to say is, as is true, one-on-one is always the best. But as a student, I know, which was actually very recent, there are so many individuals and groups that I worked with where I had to come up with very detailed worksheets for the elderly, mm-hmm. for children, for any setting that I worked in. So a lot of people that do understand technology can come up with nice, very clear, step-by-step instructions and print them out and then mail them to your elderly adults, make them as simple as possible, because that's what occupational therapists do. They definitely break down each task to make it as simple as possible so that if we can do that, you can adjust the font for those that are hard of seeing. People that are hard of hearing, they can actually see it. You can also put in, directions on how to turn up the volume, et cetera, et cetera. So you can think about all of those things, print them out nicely, and then send them to your elderly adult. They can always just have it, too. And then if they decide to embrace the technology, they already have the instructions there for things like this, So, like, grandkids or OTs could do this for their elderly adults.
Let me throw this to Aitana.
Yes.
Grad student at Seton Hall, who's been on this call with her professor, Meryl Picard. Anything you're thinking as you listen to Jody there, or anything else that you want to add regarding other callers who've been on?
So something that I found really helpful was knowing that we were looking at the same interface when I was on the phone with my grandmother. We both have iPhones, and being able to kind of give her very simple one-step direction, like at a time, just telling her, okay, now look at the top right corner, you're going to tap that grocery cart. I did that, and then I also took screenshots of each step.
Yes.
And you're able to mark up each screenshot with the iPhone. I'm sure you can do that on an Android also, to kind of draw over the pictures, to kind of arrow in, like, okay, click here, and I sent her a screenshot of her login so that she could have that saved on her phone. I found that to be really helpful also.
Jody,
yeah,
thank
you. It's exactly what I was thinking. Just put your screenshot with the directions right next to it. Very simple. Print it out and send it to your elderly adults, and they can always have it. If they forget, they can look back at it. It's a great, very sort of high tech to low tech to high tech option.
Thank you. And of course, not everybody has an iPhone. Not even everybody has a smartphone or any kind of computer. Professor Picard, in about 20 seconds, since we cover inequality and the coronavirus so much here, is there anything that you know of that's a program to get computers to older adults who don't have them and can't afford them?
I wish that I did. I don't. I can certainly encourage our the companies that are making our technology to consider doing this. I know many have donated to schools because there are so many kids out who needed various computers or tablets to be able to use. But I think we also can't forget, you know, Jody was talking about low-tech versus high-tech. I think we can't forget about those landline phone calls, sending cards, sending postcards, but doing it consistently, and even putting people on speakerphone if you cannot get to them. We have the disparities are enormous, and only about 50% of Americans even have broadband. Older adults have broadband in their house. So even having the computer might not be the solution until we can get them access to the outside.
To the high-speed internet. And that's going to have to be the last word. We thank Seton Hall occupational therapy professor Meryl Picard and third-year graduate student Aitana Edelman. Thank you both so much for all your information and your goodwill.
Thank you, Brian, so much for hosting this.